Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram caiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jemudirayet Nashta Preshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 4, called The Characteristics of Rishabhade, a text number 5.
Vidita nuragam paura prakriti janna pado rajana biratmajam. Vidita nuragam paura prakriti janna pado rajana biratmajam. Samaya setu rakshayam abhishyena. Abhishichya brahmanay shupanidhaya saha Meru devya vishalayam prasana Nipunena tapasa samadhi yogena Nara narayanakyam bhagavantam vasudevam Upasina kalena tan mahimanam avapa.
Okay, word by word. Vidita, known very well.
Anuragam,
popularity.
Apaura prakriti,
among all the citizens and government officers.
Janapadaha,
desiring to serve the people in general.
Raja,
the king.
Nabihi,
Nabi.
Atmajam,
his son.
Samayasitu rakshayam,
to protect the people strictly according to the Vedic principles of religious life.
Abhishichya,
enthroning.
Brahmaneshu,
to the learned Brahmanas.
Upanidhaya,
entrusting.
Saha,
with.
Merudevya,
his wife Marudevi.
Vishalayam,
in Badrika Ashram.
Prasana Nipunena,
perform with great satisfaction and expertise.
Tapasa,
by austerities and penances.
Samadhi Yogena,
by full samadhi.
Naranarayanakyam,
name Naranarayan.
Bhagavantam,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vasudevam,
Krishna.
Upasinaha,
worshipping.
Kalena,
in due course of time.
Tat mahimanam,
his glory is about the spiritual world. Vaikuntha.
Avapa,
achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Nabi understood that his son Rishabhadev was very popular among the citizens and among government officers and ministers. Understanding the popularity of his son, Maharaj Nabi enthroned him as the emperor of the world, to give protection to the general populace in terms of the Vedic religious system. To do this, he entrusted him into the hands of learned Brahmanas, who would guide him in administrating the government. Then Maharaj Nabi and his wife Marudevi went to Badrika Ashram in the Himalaya mountains, where the king engaged himself very expertly in austerities and penances with great jubilation.
In full samadhi, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Naranarayan, who is Krishna in his plenary expansion. By doing so, in the course of time, Maharaj Nabi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. Purport. When Maharaj Nabi saw that his son Rishabhadeva was very popular with the general populace and the governmental servants, he chose to install him on the imperial throne. In addition, he wanted to entrust his son into the hands of the learned brahmanas. This means that the monarch was supposed to govern strictly according to the Vedic principles, under the guidance of learned brahmanas, who could advise him according to the standard Vedic scriptures, like Manusmriti and similar shastras. It is the duty of the king to rule the citizens according to Vedic principles. According to Vedic principles, society is divided into four categories: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Chatur Vanya Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vipagashaha. After dividing society in this way, it is the king's duty to see that everyone executes Vedic principles according to his case. A Brahmana must perform the duty of a Brahmana without cheating the public. It is not that one attains the name of Brahmana without the qualifications. It is the king's duty to see that everyone engages in his occupational duty according to Vedic principles. In addition, retirement at the end of life is compulsory. Maharaj Nabi, although still a king, retired from family life and went with his wife to a place called Badrika Ashram in the Himalayas, where the deity Naranarayan is worshipped. The words Prasanna Nipunena Tapasa indicate that the king accepted all kinds of austerity very expertly and jubilantly. He did not at all mind leaving his comfortable life at home. Although he was the emperor, despite undergoing severe austerities and penances, he felt very pleased at Badrika Ashram, and he did everything there expertly. In this way, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Samadhi Yoga, always thinking of Krishna, Vasudev Maharaj Nabi attained success at the end of his life and was promoted to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. This is the way of Vedic life. One must stop the process of repeated birth and death and return home back to Godhead. The words Tanna Mahimanam Avapa are significant in this regard. Srila Sridhar Swami says that Mahima means liberation in this life. We should act in such a way that in this life, after giving up this body, we still become liberated from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This is called Jivan Mukti. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya states that in the Chandogya Upanishad, there are 8 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta, a person who is already liberated, even when living in this body. The first symptom of one so liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activity, apahata papa. As long as one is under the clutches of maya and material energy, one has to engage in sinful activity. Bhagavad Gita describes such people as Dushkritinaha, which indicates that they are always engaged in sinful activity. One who is liberated in this life doesn't commit any sinful activities. Sinful activity involves illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Another symptom of a liberated person is Jivara, which indicates that he is not subjected to the miseries of old age. Another symptom is Vimrityu. A liberated person prepares himself in such a way that he does not take on any more material bodies, which are destined to die. In other words, he doesn't fall down again to repeated birth and death. Another symptom is Vishoka, which indicates that he is close to material distress and happiness. Another is Vijighatsa, which indicates that he no longer desires material enjoyment. Another symptom is Apipata, which means that he has no desire other than to engage in devotional service of Krishna, his dear most pursuable Lord. A further symptom is Satyakama, which indicates that all his desires are directed to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. He doesn't want anything else. He is Satyasankalpa. Whatever he desires fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. First of all, he doesn't desire anything for his material benefit. And secondly, if he desires anything at all, he simply desires to serve the Supreme Lord. That desire is fulfilled by the Lord's grace. That is called Satyasankalpa. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Mahima means returning to the spiritual world, going back to Vaikuntha. Srila Shukadev says that the word Mahima means that the devotee attains the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sadharma, of the same quality. Just as Krishna is never born and never dies, His devotees who return to Godhead never die and never take birth within the material world.
Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padahan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
So this is a very beautiful verse which describes the how King Nabi actually attained perfection at the end of his life. You can see previously King Nabi, he was a great king. He was a son of Maharaj Agnidra with Purvachiti, and he performed a great sacrifice where he actually wanted to please the Supreme Lord to have a son like the Supreme Lord. And his desire was fulfilled. And then Lord Rishabhadev appeared in the womb of Marudevi, his wife. So after he actually could perceive that his son was fully qualified to take over the kingdom, he was prepared to leave to take Vanaprastha. So it's very amazing actually that such opulent king living all life in great opulence with a lot of facilities and a lot of enjoyment. And when the time is ready, he's just prepared to leave everything and just goes without anything, basically completely detached. So the Vanaprastha order, they normally make a cloth from the bark trees, put it on their body, and they just walk away. So they don't even take their clothes with them from their kingdom. So you can see that these Kshatriyas, they are greatly renounced at the end of their life. They can just fully dedicate themselves for the spiritual life, and by that they attain perfection. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Mata Vishakadevi ki jai. You can see another example is Maharaj Yudhishthir. Now, even though he was such an opulent king, that the opulence that was seen on the Rajasuya sacrifice, that wasn't seen before. No one saw such an opulence before, actually. There's so many jewels that even though human beings on the earthly planets, they can't see them normally. They are present only in the heavenly planets. But they were brought to the sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthir. So Maharaj Yudhishthir with his brothers and his wife, they're also at the end of their life, they're just ready to leave everything. As soon as Krishna was gone from the planet, they also wanted to leave. So they just left everything, they enthroned Maharaj Parikshit. So that's another point actually, that the leader, that his duty is actually to see that someone is qualified to replace him in his position. Basically. So that's what Maharaj Nabi, he could see that Lord Rishabhadev is the Supreme Lord, is fully qualified to take over the statesmanship as a Kshatriya. So he found a replacement for him and he was ready to go. And the same way Maharaj Yudhishthir, when the Maharaj Parikshit was prepared, was qualified, then they enthroned him as the head of the society, and then they just left. So this Vedic system is actually meant for this one thing, is to attain perfection in the human life and to achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So King Nabi, this story happened in the Satya Yuga. So the process of self-realization and Satya Yuga, we know it is the performance of this mystical yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. So he went to Badrika Ashram in the Himalayas, where there's this deity of Naranarayan presides, and he was practicing mystical yoga, and by being fully absorbed in samadhi, he actually achieved perfection in his life. So basically he became, Srila Prabhupada explains at the end of the purport, Satya Sankalpa. Means that his only desire is to serve, to please the Supreme Lord, basically. You can see previously he got a desire to obtain a son. Because for a king it's very important to have a son to continue the dynasty. That's one thing. Another thing is so that the king actually can achieve the higher planets by the performance of Shraddha ceremony. So the Shraddha ceremony is supposed to be performed by the sun. So mainly for these two reasons that the kings, they also anxious to get the sun. So Maharaj Nabi, he got also this desire to have a son. So he performed the sacrifice. So we can see that his desire wasn't that spiritual at that time. But because he got the association of the saintly people, these brahmanas were performing the sacrifice, basically they are pure devotees. So by their mercy, the Supreme Lord appeared. So because of them, he actually connected his desire to have a son with Krishna, basically. So this is the way how we all can actually connect our material desires, whatever it is, with Krishna. And by that we get purified, and then we can achieve the Satya Sankalpa, which means that our only desire will be to please the Supreme Lord. So this whole Vedic culture, the whole Vedic system is actually meant only for that. It's meant to get a purification and to achieve the Krishna consciousness. You can see many times there is objection that this Vedic culture doesn't work in this age. It's age of Kali. Everyone is born Shudra, Kala Shudra Sambhava. So what can we do? There's no chance for us to follow all these rules and regulations that are described in the Manusmritis. But saying that actually is similar like saying that the water is not liquid. Because it's Kali Yuga, basically. It's like a saying that Dharma doesn't work in Kali Yuga. It's like a saying that the sugar is not sweet or chili is not hot. So this Dharma means the constitutional nature of things, basically. And it works always because it was created by Krishna. So everything basically works according to Krishna's laws. Also, the human society should be run in such a way that there's a divisions of four social positions and the four spiritual positions. This is called the Varna Ashram. So, what this verse explains is actually it's called the Daivi Varna Ashram. Because in Daivi Varna Ashram, the goal is to please the Supreme Lord. There is a verse in the Puranas, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parama Puman. It means that one should perform his occupational duties only to please the Supreme Lord and for no other reason, basically. So this is the way how to connect the desires, our material desires with Krishna, by performing the duties properly. So we can see even though in our society, in Krishna consciousness society, this is the system that should be established, is the Daivi Varnashram. And it's already here. We may perceive it or not, but it's already going on. Like we have the pujaris. The pujari is supposed to be a Brahman. We have the temple president, the administrator, supposed to be a Kshatriya. We have the business, boutique or a restaurant. So basically that's Vaishya. Then we do the different duties, gardening and so on. So that's a Shudra. So there's nothing wrong to be a Shudra or a Brahman or a Vaishya, basically. If one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So it will be very difficult actually to reestablish this Daivi Varnashram in the society until we think that it's bad to be a Shudra or to be a woman, actually. So this consciousness we have to change. Actually, there's nothing wrong about it. This is just the body we have, the condition we have, and we're trying to engage it fully in Krishna service, get purified. So those who say that the Vedic system is not practical, they don't have much understanding of the philosophy and the culture of the Bhagavatam. Because during the Bhagavatam, there's so many times these points about the Varnashram comes out. And so those who actually say like that, then they don't have a faith in the Bhagavatam. But the Bhagavatam, this is our main book. This is the Vedanta Sutra, originally written by Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, Krishna himself. And this is especially for us, for this age, for the devotees. And everything is described here in the Bhagavatam. How to have a successful married life, how to be a good brahmachari, how to do business, how to be a king. Here it says how to be a good king. That the king works by the advice of the brahmanas. So he's not actually independent like autocrat, but he always abides by the advice of the brahmanas. And he's supposed to overlook that everyone performs his duties properly. Yeah. So kshatriya, what does it mean to be a kshatriya? Kshatriya means gives protection. So the leaders, they should give protection. So this principle, everyone can apply it in his own life. We have our leaders in the family, the father. So his main duty is to give protection to all the members in the family. Or we have a leader in the temple prison. So his main duty is to give protection, materially and spiritually. So we're speaking here about something that actually can be applied. And it is applied. We may see it or not. But it's there. And even the Varnashram is going on in the modern society. But it's not done scientifically. And it's not done to please the Supreme Lord. That's why it doesn't give good results. But we can see anything actually for which we get a good results is because we follow the Vedic system. There's nothing that no one can be successful in this world, material, spiritual, without following the Vedic system. It doesn't work. It's against dharma. It doesn't work. You can see even though in the material society, those people are very rich. In their past, it means they somehow or other were connected with the devotional service and they got this Ajnata Sukriti. Like Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there is four sinful people who do not surrender to him. So one of them is Naradhama. Naradhama means the lowest of the mankind. So this is a person basically who was a practicing devotee in his previous life, and then he rejected devotional service. So he left devotional service, and because of that, he got this great benefit, this Ajnata Sukriti. So in his next life, he takes a birth in very aristocratic family or a very rich family, and then is very successful. Can see very, very rich. There's many rich people in the society. So it's because of that. But the, such a person rejects the devotional service. So even though in this life he may be opulent, but in his next life, if he doesn't change, then his future is very bad, actually. So we can see that all this culture of Bhagavatam, we can apply it in our life. That's why we have to study these books very carefully. And we shouldn't claim that it's not practical in this age, because it's Kali Yuga. It is practical. And many, those who follow the system, they got purified, like Maharaj Nabhi is one of the examples. He attained success at the end of his life, and he was promoted to the spiritual world, like Vaikuntha Loka. So this is the Vedic life. It's meant to stop the process of repeated birth and death, and to return home back to Godhead. What time am I supposed to stop? Okay. I have still some time. So we can see from this life of Maharaj Nabhi, actually, previously, as on my before class, I explained that he was practicing this Yatkaroshi, Yadashinasi, Yajihoshi, Dadasi. It means he was trying to connect everything that he was doing with Krishna. So it wasn't a pure devotional service. It was basically on the platform of Karma Yoga. But now, by doing that, he actually got purified. And now he came to the point of Ananya Bhakti. So this Ananya Bhakti, it is the verse Krishna explains, Sarva Dharma Parityajam Vamekam Sharanam Vraja. Or the verse says two times, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta Madhyajimam Namaskuru. So we actually came from this platform of Karma Yoga to the platform of Ananya Bhakti very quickly. And by the mercy of the pure devotees, he was actually successful, and at the end of his life he attained perfection by performance of the mystic yoga. And in Samadhi, he fixed his mind on the Naranarayan Rishi in the Himalayas. So this Naranarayan Rishi, they reside in the Himalayas. They're in there in Badrika Ashram with another sages like Shri Vyasadev. So we may not see them, but they are still there, living. So he knew it, and that's why he went there. So those who want to be successful in their spiritual life should take example from Maharaj Nabhi, and they should actually live the Vedic life and practice spiritual life in such a way that at the end of their life they can actually renounce their material life and then take the higher order like vanaprastha or sannyas. But for most people this is not possible. So even the one is engaged in the married life till the end of his life, it's no problem if he acts on the platform of Naishkarmya. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, sannyas is someone who is performing the activity but is not attached to the results. So it doesn't mean that he doesn't get any results from his work. Krishna says he's not attached to the results that come by performance of his duties. So he actually gets the results but is not attached to them. So he's offering everything to Krishna, basically. So you can see also in the family life that someone can be acting on the platform of sannyas. Like we can see Arjuna is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he doesn't want to fight. So my question is that, was he fighting on the platform of Grihastha or sannyas? What do you think? Yeah, sannyas. Because as a grihastha, he wanted to renounce. He wanted to go to the forest. Krishna says, no, you have to do your duties. So then he understood that sannyas is actually someone who does his duties but is not attached to the results. So then he was fighting and he offered everything to Krishna. So basically, he was fighting, doing his duties for Krishna's pleasure on the platform of sannyas. So there is no need actually for him to go to the forest, because his fighting on the battlefield was not different from going to the forest. And even Krishna rejected that idea of going to the forest, because he said, even you go to the forest, still you'll get into a fight somewhere with someone, you know, because that's your nature as a kshatriya. You have to protect dharma. So his duty was to give a protection. So that war is actually ordained by Krishna himself. We can see Krishna comes to this world mainly for two reasons. Is paritranaya sadhana vinasha chadushkritam. The first reason is to annihilate the miscreants. But the main reason he comes, actually, it is to please his devotees. That's why he also appeared as Lord Rishabhadev. To please his devotees, the Brahmans are performing the sacrifice. And to please Maharaj Nabi, to appear as his son, basically. So Krishna is only interested in the relationships with his devotees. He's not interested in killing the demons in the society. That can be done by the material energy. That's not a problem. The Maya can do it. She's doing it all the time. But Krishna is only interested in having relationships with his devotees. So that's why he appeared as the King Rishabhadev, to have a relationship with Maharaj Nabi. It's called the parental relation, Vatsalya Ras. So basically, similar as a relationship that the mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj has with Krishna, the Maharaj Nabi got with Lord Rishabhadev. It's called the Vaikuntha Ras. It's a spiritual relationship. Basically, there's three kinds of rasa. There's two are material, one is spiritual. So there's a Paratiya Rasa. Parativa Rasa means the earthly relationships. Basically, it's when the senses meet with the sense objects. Then there's a Svargiya Ras. This is the emotional relationships. It's still material, but it's higher. It's called Svargiya. It means it's from like a heavenly. And then there's Vaikuntha Ras. So Vaikuntha Ras means the relationships that are on the spiritual platform between the devotees, or devotees with Krishna. So this is what Maharaj Nabi actually, he was in a relationship with Krishna as a son. So we can see that Krishna is called Rasagnya. And basically, he reciprocates. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, etamam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajami ham. If someone surrenders to him, that's how he reciprocates. So you can see the devotees, they want to have a relationship with Krishna in a certain way. So he reciprocates for that. So like Mother Yashoda, she derives this Vatsalya Ras from Krishna. Krishna reciprocates as a son. But the gopis, they derive this Madhurya Ras from Krishna. They want to have conjugal relationship. So similarly, Maharaj Nabi, he wanted to have a Vatsalya Ras, so Krishna reciprocated. He appeared as his son. Krishna is Atmaram. He is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. But to expand his pleasure, he expanded us, the jivas, from his chit potency. It's called the samvit potency. It's a part of Ladini Shakti. It's a part of Svarup Shakti. And we are expanded from there, and we are meant actually to have a relationship with Krishna. So every devotee, every individual devotee has his own individual relationship with Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates. So Krishna is the Vishai, the devotee is the Ashray. He takes shelter of Krishna, and Krishna as the object of the sense. Like we can see, the acharyas, they use the example of a rasagula and a tongue. So if we take the rasagula, we taste it with the tongue, who is the enjoyer And who is the enjoyed? What do you think? Who is the Vishaya? Who is the Ashray? If you, huh? Tongue is the enjoyer. That's what you think. That's how we think. We are the enjoyer and the controllers. But basically, it's not. It's the Rasagula is the enjoyer, and the tongue is the enjoyed. The reason why is that the tongue actually derives the taste from the Rasagula. So only when the tongue is in touch with the Rasagula, then it derives the sweetness of it. So the Rasagula is actually the object or the enjoyer, and then the enjoyed is the tongue. Yeah. So if you understand this, then we can see that if you taste prasadam, actually tasting prasadam or enjoying prasadam means that we are serving prasadam by tasting its taste, by appreciating how it tastes, how Krishna is so wonderful that he expands himself in the food and we can taste the food. Yeah. So the devotee is their ashra and Krishna is the vishay. Basically, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, he's the only vishay. And everyone else, all his expansions, they are either a combination of Vishaya and Ashray, or they are like Srimati Radharani, she's just Ashray, but she's a Vishaya for the devotees. So the devotees, they serve Srimati Radharani, so she's a Vishaya for them, but she herself, she's Ashray, basically. She's the only devotee. It says, the Chari explains that Srimati Radharani, she's the only devotee. And all the others, they are her servants. We are all servants of Srimati Radharani. And she's the only devotee. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this. He said, Anaham vipro, nacha narapatir, naapi, vaishuna shudro, gopi bhartur padakamalo dasa dasa no dasa ha. That we are actually the servants of the servants of the servants of the gopis who take shelter of Krishna. So this is our position. Yeah. So to enjoy prasadam means that we are actually enjoyed by the prasadam. That's how we enjoy. We enjoy by being enjoyed by Krishna. Is it clear? Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. Is there any question or comment? Yes? Sorry, I don't hear you properly. They take advice. Yes. So the question was that the Kshatriyas, they always take advice from the Brahmanas. But we can see from the example of King Idadyumna that he wanted to see Krishna in his deity form, but the Brahmana told him not to do it, but he did it anyway. So he's asking, is it good or bad? Yeah, it's a very good question, actually. Yeah, the thing is that the Kshatriya, they take advice from Brahmanas, but they don't have to take the advice also. It's up to them. Because they take responsibility for the things that be being done properly. So the Brahmanas, they can only tell them that this is good to do like that and not to do like that. They just give advice. So if you give advice to someone, it's not their duty to see if he does that or not. So their Brahmanas, their duty is to give advice in the sense that they don't know. They don't mind if the king does that or not. That's not their duty to see that the king has to do what they say. It's not actually. It's the Kshatriya's duty to see that people do what he says. So he gives the orders, he takes the responsibility, basically. So it's not a bad thing if someone tells you something, and then because you want to please Krishna, you know what is good, and you do something else, and then now Krishna is pleased by that. We can see that another example from the Bhagavatam is the example of Maharaj Bali and Shukracharya. Shukracharya was a Kanishtha guru. He was a guru of Maharaj Bali. And then when Lord Vamanadev came to take everything from Maharaj Bali, then Shukracharya told him, no, don't give him anything. He's Vishnu himself, he will take everything from you. But Bali Maharaj, he knew that perfectly, but he didn't follow the order of his spiritual master. Because he was a pure devotee, so he wanted to please the Lord. So he gave him 3 steps, and then he took everything, even his own life. So we can see, if someone gives us a material advice, then we don't have to follow it, if we know what is good to do spiritually. So Maharaj Bali, he knew that this is a Supreme Lord, so he wanted to please the Lord. So there was nothing wrong for him not following his spiritual master. Yeah. Do you understand? Okay. Is there anything else? Yes, Mataji? Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's true, actually. There's a certain instruction that have to be followed. If they're not followed, then no, that's very sinful. But a certain instructions doesn't have to be followed. Like, there's always exceptions. Like, we can see there's a... The one thing if spiritual master says to a disciple, the disciple can refute, is to get married, actually. If the spiritual master asks the disciple to get married, he can refuse. He says, no, I want to remain brahmachari. We can see this from the example of Bhishma. Bhishma, basically, we all knew the story. We all know the story how he was. He took this terrible vow that he will remain brahmachari whole life, even though he was like a kshatriya. But that's why he got the name Bhishma. Bhishma means someone who's taken a terrible vow. And when he took this vow, that the demigods were showering the flowers on him. So then, later on, there was a situation that there was a girl, this Amba. He kidnapped 3 girls for the marriage with for his own brother, but one of the girl, Amba, she wanted to marry him, but he refused. And then she got angry. She went to his spiritual master Parashuram. So how serious it is if you don't follow instructions of Parashuram, but he told him that you have to marry this girl. You touched her, now it's your duty to marry her. I said, no, I've taken my vow, brahmachari, I don't want. So they got in the fight, actually. And Bhishma was so powerful that he even defeated Parashuram. Parashuram is a very powerful personality. Even though he's a Brahmin, he's expert in martial arts, in Dhanurveda. So Bhishma could defeat him, but then it wasn't proper to defeat his own spiritual master, so then he surrendered. But still he didn't follow the instructions. So there's always exceptions in following the instructions. We can see if the Brahman, if he's materialistic, and he gives us a materialistic orders that we don't have to follow. If we follow spiritual orders, which are higher, we don't have to follow the material orders. Like, there's the rule, you can actually break the lower principle for a higher principle. You can see everything is connected and there's no contradictions. You just have to understand it properly. Not with our material intelligence, but with the spiritual intelligence. Means Krishna says there's 3 things to learn. There's paripratena, pariprasnena, sevaya. He says, render service in a submissive mood, and then inquire submissively. So this by these three qualities, then the intelligence becomes spiritualized, and then it becomes a devotional service. Yeah. Is there any other question? Yes? Yeah, very good question actually. It's true. So in the Daivi Varna Ashram, every devotee is supposed to be already a Brahman. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he has this book, Brahmana Vaishnava. So Vaishnava is already 1,000 times Brahman. So we're all following this Brahminical culture, and to do deity worship and chanting the holy names. So this is our Brahminical culture, because we understand what is Brahman, what is the absolute truth. So in Daivi Varna Ashram, everyone works on the Brahminical, by the Brahminical qualities, but the distinction is that Varna is actually the economical part of that system. The ashram is the spiritual part, and Varna is the material part. So basically, it's you can see it's very very quick how you make the money to live. Yes? There is a difference between the managers and administrators, because you have also a manager in the family. The man is a manager of the family. But administrator is someone who is actually ruling, like the country or the kingdom or the temple. That's administrator. So that's a kshatriya. But a shudra can be also a manager, because he has his own family. So he's to manage the family. So he's himself a manager. Yeah, by their consciousness, they're not even on the platform of the Shudras. But material speaking, that position of a governor, you can see how they live. They actually extract the taxes from the government, and they live by that. So that's a position of a kshatriya. But it's not done properly. It's not done scientifically. That's what Srila Prabhupada explains. The Varnashram is going on. Even the aboriginal societies, it's going on, but it's not done scientifically. That's the problem in Kali Yuga. It's not done based on the Vedic knowledge. So basically, that's a position to be administered. It's a position of a kshatriya, but their consciousness is lower than the shudra. So in the Daivi Varnashram, it's opposite. It's the consciousness is the brahmana, but the position, there's a distinctions. There's a distinctions in the position. And you can see also in the spiritual world, there's the four varnas and four ashrams are there. You have the Brahmanas, you have in Vrindavan, there's Sudam Vipra, Madhumangal, there's Kshatriyas, there's in Dvaraka, Mathura, in Ayodhya, in Vaikuntha, there are many Kshatriyas. Then you have Vaishya, like Nanda Maharaj, then you have Shudras, those who are helping them in cow protection or farming. Then you have the four ashrams, the four orders, you have Brahmacharis, like the Gopas, they're basically Brahmacharis, like Madhumangal. Then you have Grihastas, the gopis. Then you have Vanaprastha, like Purnamasi. And then you, who is the Kshatriya in Vrindavan? Durvasa Muni. Yeah, so we have everything there. So it becomes reflected in this world. And the Daivi Varnashram is the closest reflection of the spiritual world, that culture. So in the materialistic society, you have also the teachers, the professors, the lawyers, or judges. All these people, it's a position of a brahmana, actually. But it's not being done scientifically, because they're taking salaries, or the doctors, To be a doctor means to be. It's a position of Brahman. It's giving medicine treatment. Yes? Actually, basically, it's you have to see that everything is created by the blueprints in this world. So the system is created. Krishna says this here in the purport, Chaturvarna Maestram Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So you can recognize it by the Guna Karma, by the qualities and the work. So someone who has the qualities, he can do the work. But because the consciousness is not proper, then it doesn't work. Like the communist system. Communist system didn't work. Because they take one part of the Varna Ashram and try to apply it for everyone. So it doesn't work. So this Varna Ashram is so beautiful that it contains all the social systems of the world. So the socialism or the communism, that's for the Shudras, basically. That's what it means. You maintain the Shudras and then they are happy. You give them food, you give them shelter, you give them some money, they're happy. Then that, for the Vaishyas, it's the democracy, it's the capitalism. When they do business, and it's all based on business, so that's for the Vaishyas, and for the Kshatriyas, it's the monarchy. That they are actually the rulers, the kings, and they rule the they actually rule the society. And for the Brahmins, it's anarchy. They don't actually have like authorities. They're just traveling, preaching, doing their puja. They're just giving spiritual knowledge, the knowledge in general to the society. So it's not done scientifically, but it doesn't mean it's not there. Even though there are, even in the communist society, you still have a Brahmanas, you have Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. It's just people don't see it like that anymore. But previously they could see it that, okay, this is my conditioned nature, now what to do about it, how to connect it with God. So that the Varna Ashram system was followed because of that. And it's only meant for that, for achieving a spiritual perfection in life. So basically, we have to see what is our condition, and then we start from there. Yeah, is it enough or is there some doubts? And yeah, you can say no problem. It's open discussion.
No, yeah, I just don't understand because we are so mixed, so we cannot find. Or most people cannot find.
Even though we are mixed, and we can take what is prominent, like you can see every devotee has something that he likes to do for Krishna. So, even though we are mixed like a Varna Shankara, still by practicing spiritual life, we can actually find out where is the Varna and how to connect it with Krishna. We can only do Varna Ashram based on devotional service, basically based on chanting the Maha Mantra. Otherwise, it's not possible. We can see the societies of the world, it doesn't work. There's a crisis. The social system, it's everything, there is a crisis, basically. So we can only do Varna Ashram, this Davi Varna Ashram, it's based on the chanting of the holy names. And it says in the Shastra that someone who chants the holy names, that it means that automatically he performed all the Vedic rituals and all the Vedic, he followed all the Vedic principles. Now he's able to chant the holy names. And it also says, someone who chants the holy names, actually it's better than a Brahman, who is not the devotee of God, who is not the devotee of Krishna. So the first generation, those who come to this movement, they have a lot of conditioning, so we have to deal with that. But we can see the second generation, then they are more focused on like more specific activities, like a kirtan, or arts, or teaching, or puja, or administration, whatever it is. So Srila Prabhupada said the third generation, then now, They will be like the most qualified, actually. The first generation, those who came. The second generation is the children of the first generation devotees. And the third generation is the children of the Gurukulis. Because the Ayurveda says that it takes like 2.5 generations to purify the genome from meat eating, basically. So those who come from this background, like myself, then it takes time. So we have this anarthas, but we find what is prominent and we deal with that. Yeah. Is there anything else? I think we'll have to stop. Grantara Chirimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shalprabhupad Ki Jai. Samyutta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.